chapter 24 this evening, 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, and I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for the truth that is contained therein. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it says this, that it's profitable for us. And I'm thankful that God's Word has been given by inspiration. It's been divinely preserved for us today. We can have confidence in what we hold in our hands as being the complete canon of Scripture. And we can find that as God has recorded what He has chosen to record for us, that it's for our benefit. It is to help us. It is profitable for us. As we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24 this evening, I'm trusting that God will allow me to extract some lessons from this text of Scripture as we read and study part of the life of Joash as it's recorded here in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And I hope that it would be a blessing to us as we look at this portion of Scripture. Obviously, this evening we had the farewell fellowship for Kid Emme and for Brianna, and they're going to be heading off to college. Kid Emme leaves on Thursday, and then Brianna leaves on the 29th of August. And so some of these lessons here, specifically in mind for these two young ladies that are heading off to college, everyone else gets to participate this evening, and we get to hear these lessons. But just six thoughts tonight. So I'll try to go pretty quickly and then get into the remainder of the service this evening. But notice in verse number one, the Bible says this, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash, notice the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But it says this, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And the next several verses of Scripture and the text of Scripture will provide us with some of the actions that take place. And there under the beginning of the reign of Joash as being king, we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 15, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Jehoiada was a man that served God faithfully, and we find that he had influence on the life of Joash. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we're going to look at the whole chapter and just seek to extract some lessons that I hope would be applicable for each of us this evening as we look at this portion of Scripture and seek to glean principles that would guide us in our living. Number one, if you're taking notes this evening, I want you to consider with me the importance of having a spiritual mentor in your life. The importance of having a spiritual mentor in your life. And I would say this, and to be accountable. Accountability is something that's missing in our society today. In fact, a lot of people don't want to be accountable to anyone. A lot of people don't want to be accountable. If you read the book of Romans in the first chapter, they deny the existence of God simply because they don't want to be accountable to God. And we live in a time and an era in this particular day that we're living in where people simply don't want to be accountable. But I believe this evening that it's important that we recognize that it's vital that we have spiritual mentors in our lives. Now, as young people, as I would think about giving this message to Brianna and to Kid Emme as they head off to college, obviously this new phase of life for them, but for each of us this evening, we understand the importance of having spiritual mentors in our lives. In fact, at some point in our lives, we would trust that as the cycle of life would go forward, that we would become a spiritual mentor in someone else's life. But even at that point, it's important that we still continue to have mentors in our own life, and that we have people that we're able to counsel with. I'm thankful that God's Word gives counsel. I'm thankful for the truth that's contained therein. But God told us within the pages of His Word that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And so we find that God has provided for us. I still have in my life, I have men that I will pick up the phone and I will call, that I refer to and I look to as being spiritual mentors in my life. I've reached the age in my particular life and ministry where now I receive the phone calls from younger preachers that are saying, hey, I got this problem, I got this situation, and I begin to try to give them some biblical counsel. When I think about Joash and this understanding of the importance of having a spiritual mentor, and obviously being accountable, we notice that the Bible says that Jehoiada here had great influence in the life of Joash, so much so that the Bible says in verse number 2 of our text that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. It's kind of interesting, as you study through the Kings and Chronicles, as you have the opportunity to study what God has recorded of their lives, many times you will read where the Bible will speak about all the days of their lives. But here specifically, the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. There's a distinct difference in how God gives us this truth, how he articulates the life of Joash and helps us to understand. And so we see the influence, this spiritual mentorship, if you will, that Jehoiada had in the life of Joash. We read again, notice in verse number 6, the Bible says this. Well, we'll keep reading in verse number 3. And Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. That's a good thing. The Bible says in verse number 5 that he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And Joash had good intentions here. It was a good thing to repair the house of the Lord. He says, let's do it with haste. The Levites, however, hastened not. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible says, and the king called for who? He called for Jehoiada, the chief. There was a relationship there between Jehoiada and Joash. And he calls for Jehoiada the chief, and notice what he says to him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection? Notice what he says, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness. If you were to skip down and look at verse 12 and 14 with me, I want you to notice again, there's a phrase that's mentioned that I think gives us some insight with regard to the relationship between Joash and Jehoiada. Notice in verse number 12, the Bible says, and the king and Jehoiada. It says it again in verse number 14, in the middle of the verse, the king and Jehoiada. Notice in verse number 12, it says, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass and mend the house of the Lord. Gave what? Gave that offering that he was speaking of in verses 5 and 6. We find that the Bible tells us that the workmen wrought in verse number 13. The work was perfected by them. They set the house of God in estate and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. Again, I mentioned verse 12 and 14, use that phraseology, the king and Jehoiada, again, seeing the relationship, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually. Notice it says again, all the days of Jehoiada. It's interesting that Joash is the king, but this is the second time that we read about all the days of Jehoiada. And we find here that Jehoiada had an impact, an influence. He had this role of being a spiritual mentor in the life of Joash. It's vital. It is absolutely essential that we have a spiritual mentor in our lives. Somebody that we can look to, that we can counsel with, that we can understand that there's safety, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the multitude of counselors. The Bible speaks, obviously, as you look at the New Testament, and you think about the role of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man that sought the face of God. He was a man that followed the Lord. And he says to those that he's ministering to, he says, be followers of me as I follow the Lord. And we find that Paul was a man, as we look at his life, that he had the opportunity, the role that he played in the lives of Timothy and Titus. He speaks about them as being his sons in the faith, but we understand that he had a spiritual mentorship in their lives. In fact, we find that Paul very carefully in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus gives them the instruction with regard to following the example that he set forth. This evening, we see, first of all, lesson number one from this portion of Scripture, the importance of having a spiritual mentor in our lives and the importance of being accountable. Spiritual mentors are designed to help us in our spiritual journey. Spiritual mentor, you think about accountability and the truth of being accountable. Someone made this distinction: to seek counsel is to get answers to your questions. To be accountable is to give answers to the questions asked. I think that's a very minor distinction, but listen to it again. To seek counsel is to get answers to your questions. Lots of people seek counsel. They want answers to their questions. To be accountable is to give answers to the questions that are asked. How are you doing spiritually? How's your walk with God? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? That's being accountable. Spiritually, spiritual mentorship, asking those questions. Listen, a lot of times, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, a lot of times we don't ask those kind of questions. We kind of almost act like that's a part of our lives that we don't deal with, that we don't really focus on. But it ought to be that we have some spiritual accountability to those that would be our spiritual mentors. Number two. Lesson number two, I would say this. As we look at the life of Joash, we see very obviously in the text of Scripture the importance of developing a personal walk with God. We could never overemphasize this evening the importance of a personal walk with the Lord. We need to develop that personally. Someone said years ago, a preacher of yesteryear, God has no grandchildren. What does he mean by that? Well, we're all sons and daughters of the Lord. He has no grandkids. If you are saved, if you're heaven-bound, it's because you trusted Christ as your Savior, and He adopted you into His family, and He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What a wonderful truth that God gives us in His Word. And we understand that as we seek to develop this personal walk with God, that the importance of it. And we understand that it's not just the God of my mentor, it's not just the God of my parents, it's not just the God of the pastor, but it's my God. It's a personal thing. And we find here, I want you to see in the text of Scripture, I read verse number 15 by way of introduction, but we find this, at some point, a spiritual mentor will pass into eternity. And then what happens with our own personal walk with God? In the life of Joash, it's terrible what happens. The contrast between the first 16 verses of 2 Chronicles 24 and then from verse 17 to 27, that last portion, it's absolutely mind-boggling as you look at the contrast in these portions of Scripture. But what changed? Well, the Bible says in verse 15, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died." He was 130 years old. And that's when he died. And we find that this was a very important turning point in the life of Joash. In fact, the Bible says in verse 17, "Now after the death of Jehoiada," and we're going to notice in just a moment what takes place. But I ask this question, how do we develop a personal walk with God? It's good that the preacher can stand up and say, "Hey, listen, it's important that you have a personal walk with God." How do I develop that personal walk with God? What is it that I do? Why should I develop a personal walk with God? And the reality is that as we look at God's Word and we understand the truth of salvation and we understand being adopted in the family of God, we should have a desire to know Him personally. I don't want to just hear from somebody else what God is doing. I want to personally experience the greatness of God. It's not enough to just know about God. We see as what Paul said in the book of Philippians, that I may know Him. And having that intimate intimate fellowship and that walk with the Lord. We do not walk with the Lord. We don't seek to develop a walk with the Lord so that we can maintain our salvation. We know that that's not the biblically accurate or biblically true. We seek to walk with the Lord daily. We sang this morning, "Trust and Obey." And we think about the walking and that daily walking with the Lord. And we find that the Bible gives us so much insight as we seek the face of God. I hope this morning, this evening, as we consider our walk with God and developing our walk with God, that we're working on it, that we're seeking to be closer to God today than we were yesterday, than we were a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. Because that closeness with God, that drawing nigh unto the Lord, drawing near to God, is so vital for our spiritual journey as we go through life. Why? Because we have an enemy. And the enemy wants to devour us and destroy us. And we find this evening that it's absolutely essential that we would understand the importance that, yes, we have a spiritual mentor, but we can't just ride the coattails of our spiritual mentor. We must develop a personal walk with God. At some point in life, you want to teach your children how to live life on their own. You teach them how to, you know, there's a time in parenting that you spoon feed your children. Y'all understand what I mean when I say that. When you do the little thing is, you know, they don't want to eat the broccoli, and you're trying to act like it's an airplane, and you're doing all this kind of nonsense to get them to eat the broccoli, and you're trying to make it palatable for them, and so on and so forth. But at some point, you want them to be able to feed themselves. And this evening, we understand the importance of the mentor, but we understand this evening that it's absolutely essential that we develop a personal walk with God. When I think about the role of a pastor and also as a parent, a spiritual leader, we understand the Bible tells me as a pastor that I'm to feed the flock of God. That's a biblical responsibility that I have, is to feed the flock of God. But you know, if the only time the flock of God gets fed is when the pastor stands up and preaches a message, the flock of God is going to be anemic, malnourished. It's just true. It's the way it works. If the only time the flock of God is being fed, no, so the pastor, yes, is to feed. That's a job, a role, that's a responsibility that the pastor has. But the flock needs to learn how to feast on God's word themselves. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we find that all of these truths are given to us. And so the focus on the importance of developing that personal walk with God is something we have to work on. It's not going to happen by accident. Number three. Lessons from the life of Joash. Number three, be careful who influences you. Somebody's trying to influence you. Somebody's trying to influence me. We need to be careful of the tactics and the approaches of those that would seek to influence us. As we look at this text of Scripture and we come, verse 15 speaks of the death of Jehoiada, verse 16, the burial of Jehoiada, but we come to verse 17 and the Bible says, now after the death of Jehoiada, notice what the Bible says, came the princes of Judah. Notice what they do. They made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Someone's trying to influence you. Someone's trying to influence me. So often we think about the truth of influence. We think about young people. And certainly that's a big truth and a big important recognition that we have that someone's trying to influence our young people. But I want you to know that as adults, senior saints, somebody's trying to influence you. Listen, we need to be careful who influences us. You know, it's amazing today. It used to be that we could really limit those who influenced us because we didn't have so many things available at the touch of a button. But I would say to you this evening that we're being influenced by social media. I don't have social media. I hear a whole lot about social media. I don't have it. I'm not saying that I'm against it, that I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Why? Because there's influence. There's influence. The books that we read, the things that we watch, the people that we run with, and so on and so forth. And notice how these individuals, they really are using flattery. The Bible says that they come and these princes of Judah, they made obeisance to the king. They made obeisance to the king. And then the Bible says, then the king hearkened unto them. Isn't that sad? The Bible tells us in verse 18 that they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Now, I want you to understand that while Jehoiada was still alive, that Joash was the one that commissioned, in verse number 4, the repair of the house of the Lord. He was the one that not only commissioned the repair of the house of the Lord in verse number 4, but he was the one that said, let's hasten the matter. He was the one that when they hasten not, that he calls for Jehoiada and he says, hey, what's going on here? Why aren't you making them do this? And all of a sudden, Jehoiada dies. These princes of Judah come and they make obeisance to the king, and the king hearkens unto them. They leave the house of the Lord, their God, and they go and they serve groves and idols. Could scratch our head and say, how in the world does that happen? Well, number one, there's a lack of a personal walk with God in the life of Joash. Influence is powerful. Influence is powerful. People are seeking to influence us. At times, we don't even know it. Have you ever heard something and you walked away? This happened to both Holly and I just this past week. We walked away and we said, I think that was good, but I'm suspicious as to what the underlying message was. You ever feel that way? You hear something, you're like, I think at the surface it sounds like it's okay, but knowing the source, I think something, what did I miss? We both walked away from a situation with that same thought. And we have to be careful who we allow to influence us. We speak about choosing our friends wisely. Oh, how important that is. We live in a society today. How many friends are following somebody on some social media platform and all of this important stuff of I have this and I have that. So we got to be careful. I remember years ago someone said this to me, it's better to have no friends than the wrong friends. Man, how important that is to understand that truth. And we find this evening that we must be careful. Lesson number three of who influences us. Jehoiada allowed for the princes of Judah to have influence in his life. And a man that was concerned about repairing the house of the Lord, a man that was hastening the repair of the house of the Lord, now leaves the house of the Lord and is, the Bible says, they're serving groves and idols. It gets worse from there. The Bible tells us in verse number 20 that Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, came and stood and delivered a message. And the Bible says that they conspired to kill him. And it says in verse 22, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. Wow. No doubt when you look at the influence of Jehoiada in the life of Joash and you understand the text of Scripture and that closeness of their relationship, there's no doubt that there would be some knowledge of Joash and Zechariah. And yet, as Zechariah stood proclaiming truth, Joash had him stoned. Wow. Influence. I mean, quick influence. There's a slippery slope of sin. Sometimes we can get on that slippery slope and you think you can control it, and all of a sudden, things are out of control. Chaos. How did we get here? We find this evening that we must be careful of who influences you. Number four, if you're taking notes, I want you to rejoice in this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Notice what happens after the death of Jehoiada. And Joash has this influence of these princes of Judah that come and they make obeisance to him. I want you to notice in verse number 19, the Bible says, yet he, that he is speaking of God, sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. This evening, we must rejoice in the fact that God is faithful. I'm thankful this evening that God pursues us. I'm thankful this evening that if we get a little sideways in our life, if we get something that kind of just isn't going the way it's supposed to go, maybe we're struggling in our spiritual life, that God will use someone or some thing to bring us back into fellowship with Him. God is faithful. And we find this evening that God sent these prophets, and what a blessing to consider the grace and the mercy of our God and to think about how He pursues His people. I'm thankful the Bible reveals to us that Jesus in the Gospels, that He is a seeking Savior, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful this evening. Listen, there's been a time in your life, there's been a time in my life where spiritually we weren't like on the mountaintop. Amen? Sometimes in your life, you kind of have that valley experience, so to speak, and I'm thankful that God is faithful on the mountaintop, and I'm thankful that God is faithful in the valley. And I'm thankful this evening that God will use people. He'll use His people. He'll send, why? Because He's faithful. He'll use His Word. Have you ever been ministered to by the Word of God? Man, you're going through a time in your life, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're just kind of just spinning your wheels, so to speak, floundering around spiritually. Maybe there's some backsliding that's taking place, and God will use His Word in our lives. And I'm thankful this evening that God is faithful. The Bible teaches us as we look at the truth of chastening and how God seeks and how God disciplines His children. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. It's amazing to me when the Bible tells us, as you look over in the book of James, look at James quickly with me, and I want you to see this wonderful truth in James chapter number 4. We think about the faithfulness of God and how He pursues us, and you understand this evening that God desires to have close fellowship with you as His child. The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. I'm thankful that God lets us enter into His presence. He allows it. I believe that God, He inhabits the praise of His people. God loves when we are in fellowship with Him and when we're seeking to draw nigh unto Him. And the Bible says this in James 4 and verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice this, draw nigh to God, and notice what it says, and He will draw nigh to you. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse of Scripture. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so we find that we are to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and we're to draw nigh to God and understand that He'll draw nigh to us. I'm thankful that God is faithful. We mentioned in Sunday school this morning the life of Samuel, how God does not force His people to take heed to the warnings that He gives, but God is faithful to give the warnings. God is faithful to pursue His people. Number five, I would say this, determined to remain sensitive to God's Word. Determined to remain sensitive to God's Word. This evening, I'm thankful. I said at the beginning of the message, one of the first statements I made is I'm thankful for God's Word. If we're not careful, we can have a hard heart towards God's Word. We can become calloused. We can become indifferent. But we must endeavor and ask the Lord to help us to have hearts that are sensitive, hearts that are soft, tender. The Bible speaks about Josiah, how he had a tender heart. And this evening, when we look at this portion of Scripture and we understand the importance of remaining sensitive to the Word of God, the Bible says in verse number 19 that He, God, sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. You find that in the end of verse number 19, notice what the Bible says, but they would not give ear. The Bible says in verse number 20 that they have forsaken the Lord. It says, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? He says that ye cannot prosper. And we find that as we understand the importance this evening of us remaining sensitive to God's Word, that God will use His Word in our lives. But I must be sensitive to it. I must be willing to allow God's Word to chart the course for my life. I must be willing to come to a place where I'm going to agree with God that what God said settles it, that what God said is true, that we come to a place where you say, listen, here's what God says, and if God confronts me as I read His Word, as His Word is preached and taught, as God uses His Word in your life and in my life, as God confronts us, hey, listen, you better stop doing that because it doesn't please the Lord, I remain sensitive to God's Word. When God says you better start doing this because this is what pleases me and I'm not doing it, then I remain sensitive to God's Word. I want you to note the contrast in our text of Scripture between verse 6 and verse number 19. In verse number 6, Jehoiada is still alive, and the Bible tells us this in verse number 6. It says, and the king, that's Joash, he called for Jehoiada the chief. And notice what he says to him, why hast thou not required the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection. Notice what he says, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Guess what he's referring to? He's referring to the law. He's referring to the written word of God. And we find here that he's saying to Jehoiada that the basis of us making this collection, of going out to Judah and to Jerusalem to bring in this collection, is in obedience to what God has said. And yet we find that in verse number 19, as the prophets of God stand before him and testify against them, that they would not give ear. Isn't that frightening? I mean, honestly, when you read this and you see what's... Listen, I don't want to come to a place where I'm hard-hearted. I don't want to get to a place where I'm calloused to God's Word. I don't want to get to a place where I feel like I got it figured out, I know it, and I just kind of coast. No, I want to remain sensitive to the leadership of God in my life, and He uses His Word. And this evening, as we look at the life of Joash, we say, how in the world was he so sensitive to wanting to obey? Jehoiada is there. Jehoiada has some influence, and he's saying we want to obey. But then there's some princes of Judah that come along. And by the way, those that would come along that would seek to influence you to go away from what you've been taught, from the ways of the Lord, they're not good influences. And the Bible says that he then, as he hears the prophets that God so graciously and mercifully sent them, that they would not give ear. So much so that Zechariah comes, filled with the Spirit of God, delivers a message, and they stone him. Wow. It's amazing. As we look to God's Word, how we can have such mixed responses to God's Word from time to time in our lives. I've been here for 12 years and a week. I don't think anyone here would know who the individual is, but just in case they did, I won't say the name. Years and years and years ago, just shortly after we got here, somebody would say to me regularly, "Oh, that's the best message I ever heard. Oh, man, thank you for preaching God's Word." They say it week after week. And then all of a sudden, there was a message that kind of hit home more. And it wasn't so much a response of, "Man, I'm glad for that message. It was good that so-and-so was here to hear that." It was, "I'm not coming back here anymore." And I kind of scratched my head and I thought, how for so many weeks could it be, "That was the best message I've ever heard"? Now understand, I don't really take that personally, because I know better, all right? But what I'm saying is, how can somebody's response be so sensitive, but then God's Word confronts them personally on something, and there's a wall that comes up, and it's, "Nope, I don't want that anymore"? It's sad, but it happens. If we're not careful, we can get a hard heart. We must determine to stay sensitive, remain sensitive to God's Word. People are going to try to tell you God's Word isn't true. I said this, I know Brianna's going to Bible college. I've said this over the years. One of the best places, I use the word best not in a good sense, but one of the easiest, maybe that's a better word, places to get backslidden is Bible college. I've been in Bible college. I believe I can say that because what happens so often is Bible college, this becomes a textbook. It does. It becomes a textbook. Instead of the living Word of God, the written Word of God. And we find that sometimes we begin reading portions of Scripture, I mean lengthy portions of Scripture, for an assignment, because it has to be done. Oh, we want to be sensitive. I don't ever want to look. Listen, I determine, I don't look at the Bible as a sermon book. I don't look at the Bible as a sermon book. Can you preach sermons out of the Bible? Absolutely. But if I go to the Bible and just look for a sermon, It's terrible. You go to the Bible as God's written word, perfect, preserved, and God ministers, and God speaks to, and God helps and directs, and then God will help us to have sermons to preach, messages to deliver. We must remain sensitive to God's word. Number six, I would say this as we close out the chapter. Disobedience leads to judgment. Disobedience leads to judgment. You will not be the exception. I preached from Genesis 38 last Sunday evening and preached a very similar thought on one of the points. It is a biblical principle that disobedience leads to judgment. God is just. He's a righteous judge. I am so thankful that He's gracious and He's merciful and He's long-suffering, and we could go on all the attributes of God. Unfortunately, there are times in people's lives that they are experiencing the long-suffering of God, the grace and the mercy of God, and unfortunately, they mistake that for being God's approval of their disobedience. But God never approves disobedience. God is never approving disobedience. And we find here that as we look at this text of Scripture, notice the Bible says that they testified against them in verse number 19. In verse number 20, the Bible says that ye cannot prosper. The Bible tells us in verse number 18 that when they did these trespasses and all that was taking place and how God, it says, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem. Why? For this their trespass. But look specifically, if you will, at verse number 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came up, came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. I want you to look at verse 24. And I want you to get something tonight from verse 24. How many of you know the story of Gideon, the account of Gideon? Right? Lydia, how many men did Gideon have? 300. Right? The Midianites? Thousands. Multitude. Right? Who got the victory? Gideon. Why? God. In one word, God. Why did God tell Gideon that his army was too big? If I give you the victory with that many people, you're going to say that you got the victory. I mean, is that it basically? We don't have to turn to the judges. We're good, right? You're tracking. Look at verse 25 or 24 again with me. For the army of the Syrians came with a, what's the Bible say? A small company of men. A small company of men. Notice what it says. And the Lord delivered a, what's it say? A very great host into their hand. Who's their hand? That's the Syrians, right? So God delivered His people, a great number of them, into the hands of the Syrians, who only had a small company. We like talking about Gideon better, don't we? It's easier to preach about Gideon too, because it's exciting. Why? Because God used a small group of His people to deliver them from the oppression of the enemy. But here the Bible says that God, He tells us here that there was a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. Notice what the next words say, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Wow. That's impactful. They come to Jeremiah. Is God going to fight for us? Jeremiah says, God's going to fight against you. You say, well, that's exciting. Yeah. Judgment comes. Disobedience leads to judgment. Verse 25, when they departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. And these are they that had conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shimeath, an Ammonitess, and Jehozabad the son of Shimrith, a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the Kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. As we look at these 27 verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I believe God lets us learn some lessons. Have spiritual mentors. Recognize the importance of spiritual mentors in your life for all of us. Be accountable to them. Understand the importance of developing a personal walk with the Lord. Every day, I need to work to develop my personal walk with God. Every single day, I need to be mindful of what am I doing today to draw closer to God. Be careful who influences you. Before you start jumping on that social media and getting on this one and that one and so on and so forth, before you start joining that group of friends and listening to, oh, but they said this and they said that, these princes of Judah gave obeisance to the king. Before long, he left the house of God and he was serving groves and idols. And then he killed the son of the one that was his spiritual mentor, Zechariah. Be careful who influences you. It's tragedy. God is faithful. Aren't you so thankful for that? I'm thankful that our God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We sing about great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. I'm thankful that he pursues his people. He gives us opportunity. He raised up these prophets and he sent these messengers. Oh, that God would help us to be sensitive to his word. Every day in our lives, God, help me to be sensitive. Help me not to have a hard heart. Help me not to get calloused. Help me not to just, I got this. I got it all figured out. And oh, we must understand that disobedience leads to judgment. I'm thankful that God's gracious and he's merciful and he forgives. But understand that disobedience leads to judgment. Our God is just. He's a righteous judge. Judgment doesn't always come immediately. The harvest is not immediate. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That truth in the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter is positive and negative. You sow good seeds, you get good crop. You sow bad seeds, not so much. This evening, we learn some lessons from the life of Joash, not only for these young ladies that are getting ready to go to college, but really for all of us. Some lessons from the life of Joash. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word, the truth that's contained therein. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take heed to these lessons as we can stand and look at this portion of Scripture and see in a life such a contrast between the time in which Jehoiada is alive and then after his death. And God, I pray that we would learn these lessons, that we'd apply truth in our lives. You'd help us, Lord, to be doers of thy word. Help us as we respond now in this time of invitation. Would you have your will and way? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with